This is Significant Other, a show about relationships hosted by Alicia and Rich. They are married people whose hobbies include rejecting rooms at hotels.
We had to just giggle then because that sounded weird.
We've employed a robot to do our intro.
Carly is not a robot. I just had to do a bit of creative editing.
Not that we know of.
If she's a robot, she's bloody good.
She's doing
good.
Really well.
I'm scared.
People need to know about this.
If she's a robot, we're in the future. Rejecting rooms at hotels.
Rejecting rooms at hotels.
Look, it is one of our favourite hobbies. And we've become darn good at it.
You're much better at it.
I'm Alicia, by the way.
Yep.
And?
Rich, obviously.
Oh, duh.
Process of elimination.
Look, here's what we want you to do this week. Besides the fact...
Not me.
No.
Right, because you looked very intently at me.
Well, if you're in a hotel situation this week, I'm looking at you, mister.
Mm.
What room rejection is this? Our good friend Vanessa one day said to us, we were at a wedding and we were all staying in Byron Bay, the overpriced beach suburb of Australia.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but quite pricey.
But nice.
Oh, it's stunning. It's beautiful, but it's pricey.
Yeah.
And Vanessa had paid quite a lot of money for an apartment with her husband. And we said, Vanessa, how's the amazing apartment? And she simply replied.
Straight out just went, oh, I rejected the room.
And we're like, what? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
And she said, no, here's what we do. The photos didn't look like the photos on the website. And there wasn't a chair where they said there was a chair. And I had already envisaged...
A chair. And I wanted a chair.
Yeah, and she was
going to
sit and read on the chair. So, you know, I get it. Because when you are deciding to stay somewhere you do a bit of preparation, you might go, I'm going to relax in this beautiful sun-soaked room. And then you turn up and it's a dingy hole.
You're in a broom cupboard out the back.
A shithole. Fuck that. You know, wait. So she said she rejected the room.
She went downstairs... Went to the desk. I reject the room.
Now, Vanessa's beautiful, polite.
Lovely.
Nice. She's not an asshole.
No.
But she said, you wouldn't believe the power of room rejection. Can't even say it.
Can't even say it. Getting so excited.
I'm so excited. So we actually have taken this up as a primetime hobby. And that is whenever we stay at a hotel and something is not right, we just reject the room.
Reject the room.
And it has done pretty well for us so far. We have travelled quite a lot in the Europe. And
we've pissed off a lot of hotel staff.
Now, they will hate you. don't get us wrong. That the hotel people will go behind your back. I fucking hate those people so much. Hate them.
But that's the skill to do it nicely.
Yeah, we're perky, optimistic Australians, but deep down we're dead inside. And if we don't like the room, we aren't staying.
Speak for yourself, buddy. Jeez.
If we don't like the room, we're not staying in it, okay? So what we usually do when we reject the room is to go, hello. That's sort of mildly patronising, but too nice for them to go,
oh, I hate these people.
Here we go. And, you know, I don't like to stay in a room where you can't open a window.
Or you just bust it open like they do at some airport hotels. You see these sort of locks dangling half out the window.
Yeah, well, if you're staying at an airport hotel for too much longer, you would bust the window open.
I don't know how much room rejection you can do in an airport hotel.
No, I'd say that's probably one. Well, actually, recently we were staying in an airport hotel in Gay Paris. And in Gay Paris, we were...
It's Paris.
Gay Paris!
Gay Paris.
I think it's from Kath and Kim. So it was a shithole. Like, it wasn't great. And in the morning, we were sleeping.
Fast, dead to the world.
So dead. So we got in at 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're like, we'll stay at the hotel and then we'll catch the train into the city so we don't have to catch the train in the middle of the night. So we're in this dead, weird prison cell hotel.
Yeah, with a capsule for a bathroom.
Oh, God, it was awful, like being on a boat. And... Then
the door just opens. No, there was no knocking. It was just straight in. And stupidly I went, hello, rather than fuck off.
And the woman puts her head in the door and goes, just checking.
Like, yep, well done. We're here. Yes.
Just checking.
Yep, the room is full.
We're asleep and now we're awake. So that situation, we're like, even if we complained and basically took a dump on the reception desk, no one was going to be giving us anything back. But if you're in a higher classy hotel, you can reject the room and get a lot. I wasn't planning to talk about room rejection for 4 minutes. I hope that's not boring for people.
Whatever.
Look at that attitude. I'm in a funk today.
Yeah.
I came home in a real funk.
Yeah.
I think it's two things. One.
The weather.
The weather's fine.
The heat. The heat wave.
Oh my God. London is, it's warm here and London is literally melting and everyone's complaining. That annoys me. It's like, just get over it. There's two hot days a year. Move on. No. One, this morning I finished my book. I'm in a post-book funk.
That's what you're upset about.
No, well, no, workplace disagreements is probably what I'm really upset about, which I'm trying to clear the emotional cache of shit so I can come home and enjoy my family home life with you and our television. But no, I finished my book. I've been reading Stephen King's The Stand, and if anyone's read that book, it's about 450 million pages long.
Didn't your thing tell you you've got like 37 hours left?
I hate that so much. Kindle, and we had to ask a friend, he fixed it for us, but Kindle basically says you've got 43 hours left in the book. And I'm like, what the fuck? How long is this book? I found it really disconcerting sitting on the tube going, you've got 23 more hours. Because I'm like, that's probably 23 more hours on the tube I'll be reading this book.
Yeah.
It's depressing. Anyway, I finished the book.
Good ending?
Great ending. I don't want to spoil it. I know with my glowing recommendations, you'll all be running out in the bookstores.
Good ending. Don't want to spoil it. Great. All right. Sounds. When was it written?
1978.
78. It's older than me.
Yeah. Well, that's not hard. That was a compliment. It was like a backhanded, angry compliment.
Yeah.
I'm in a funk.
Yeah.
Right. And I just can't quite
shake it.
No.
Yeah. Well.
This is nice though. Telling everyone, all our listeners, I'm in a funk.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. But everyone goes through funks, even perky podcast hosts. I just couldn't shake it today.
What have we got on the show today?
We're talking about funks. We're talking about how to know if your partner is quote-unquote the one.
See them in the funk and see if you can still like them.
That's true, actually. Because you've been very optimistic and nice tonight. Not that you're not ever not that. But you're not being annoyed by my funk.
Should we go to a track? Let's
are you annoyed by my funk? Because I did just come home and unload on you after my workplace disagreement. And I appreciate your patience. Because I know you're going to go, oh, Alicia, you have problems at every workplace you go to.
Yeah.
You are, aren't you? That's what you were thinking.
Because it's true.
I don't.
You do.
It's them, not me.
I know that. I'm not thinking that.
But it's not the beginning of the end.
Probably not.
No. I'm enjoying my place of work. I've just got some people issues. Problems. So,
do they listen to this podcast?
Oh, probably. That's going to make it better.
Yeah.
No, they don't. I don't think they do. If they do, we'll talk it out.
Yeah.
Please the problem. My thing is I'm open to conversations about things. I don't like tactics and games. I don't have time for that. So today's episode is about if you are the one. How do you know if someone is the one? Is there such thing as the one?
No.
Can you replace the one?
No.
Can you have multiple the ones?
Yes.
Do you feel that the one can be a temporary thing and then it can be a moment in time and then you can move on and have another one?
No.
That was a very cryptic question I just asked you.
Mm.
I mean, can you have the one for 5 years and then go, oh, you're not the one anymore?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to start today. It's like I'm announcing something.
It's like a class.
Listen up, everyone. But that person wouldn't say that. I have an announcement to make.
Yeah.
I want to start this podcast fucking 10 minutes in by saying I have a message from a listener.
Hooray.
Now, Michelle has left us a message. It's a great message, but I want to say there's a little audio funk in it. It's a day of funks. So I have shortened Michelle's message because I know that listening to things that are a bit...
might get annoying.
Yeah, but I want you to hear the gist of Michelle's message because it's very relevant and she's very fabulous.
Let's listen in.
Please, let's listen. Weird Whispering.
Hi, Alicia and Rich. My name is Michelle. I have just binge listened to your whole podcast so far and I love it. I'm lucky I can listen to work. And before that, I was binge listening to your Bridechilla podcast, which I also love as I am newly engaged. So it's just awesome. But you know that. I don't need to waste your time telling you how awesome you are. Sort of a toughy question that I'm not sure you will even want to try to answer, but I hope you do because I would appreciate listening to you guys talk about this. But basically, my fiance and I have been together for almost 7 years now. We met and started dating in high school. We were both 16, and we made it through a very long distance college time. He was in Vermont in the United States, and I was in Virginia in the United States, which is about a 15-hour drive apart. So it was a whole thing. And somehow we made it through. And now we are living together and everything is great and engaged. And sort of this whole time we've been together, I love him. I'm totally sure of him, but I'm almost not totally sure of my own brain. So basically my question is, how can one be sure that you've really picked the person who's going to be best for you for the rest of your life when you're only 23? Like, I don't doubt my fiance. I know that he's fantastic. I know that I definitely love him. He's definitely great for me. We do conflict resolution really well, all of that stuff, logically and emotionally. I don't doubt him, but I doubt myself. I'm much less sure of my own brain. So yeah, I would appreciate you guys talking about that. I know it might be sort of a toughie, but I think a lot of other young people getting married are probably thinking the same thing. And this is sort of a crossover between the two podcasts. So anyway, thank you. Thank you for doing what you guys do. Love listening to it. Thanks for making my work day a little bit more interesting. Yeah. Happy days.
Oh, happy days to you, Michelle.
Happy days, Michelle. Thank you for your message.
Yeah, what a great question and such a relevant question to this very episode.
It's a toughie.
It is a toughie, but I also think it's one of those questions that we've all asked ourselves over one period of time or another, or we might be going to be asking ourselves in the future. And I think she's brave for bringing it up full stop.
How mature?
Very mature. Michelle, well, let's turn it over to my dear husband. Because we've talked about this a few times, that when we met each other, we'd had multiple relationships prior to...
Steady on, mate.
Well, really, I hadn't actually had lots of relationships, per se. But there was just something about you that I'm like, I dig this guy.
Mm.
It's just going to work.
My Musk.
That's gross. That I hadn't felt with other people in that way as a mature adult.
Yes.
I'd had very younger, like, teenager-y infatuations.
Mm.
And a long-term relationship, which did not turn out it just ended.
It ended, didn't it? Yeah.
It sure did. But it's an interesting point. Like, how do you put that into words? Now, Lindsay Beer, Dr. Lindsay Beer, is going to be talking about this later in the show, but Michelle did ask our opinion.
Is she? Great. So get the amateurs to muck it up first, then get the professional in. Here's what you should be doing.
I don't think what Michelle is feeling is anything unusual in any way.
No, not at all.
And I don't think anyone, unless you have some sort of crystal ball future thing, can say that you are definitely going to be with this person for the rest of your life.
No, there are always going to be those doubts and self-doubts and whatever, but I think you just soldier on and crack on and see what happens.
And the idea that we don't have control and we go on this ride together is part of the excitement, I think.
Mm.
I don't have any inkling that we're not going to last as a couple.
Me neither.
Not at this current juncture.
There's a look on your face that's a little uncertain, though.
But shit happens, and I think we're both very realistic, and I think you have to sort of go into it, and that's not a Debbie Downer thing to say, oh, we might break up next week. But...
Are we?
No.
All right.
Not next week.
All right. Not next week. Oh, my God.
Oh my God. But also I think, you know, there are some people who are like, divorce is not an option. Why am I going into that accent? You know, people go, divorce is not an option. We're not going to, but I don't think that's very healthy either.
No. And, you know, 23 is probably young, but then we've got friends who met when they would have been 18. And, God, that'd be like, that's 18 years ago and they're still going.
And they're going very well.
Super strong.
Actually, we've got quite a few friends that met really young. I do think that there are couples that meet really young and just, like, I mean, literally power on in a very positive way. I'm not saying just power on. And I mean, my ex, boyfriend / fiance, we met when we were very young. And then he got to the point where he's like, I just don't think this is the way to go.
Mm.
And I respect him for that.
Yeah.
Don't really respect the way he went about it. But that's another story. But I do think that it's better to, you know, explore those thoughts. And when you said you were worried about your brain, I think that is a really good impetus to go and maybe speak to someone like Dr. Lindsay Beerer.
Yeah.
On your own. And this doesn't have to be a dramatic thing. This is just going, spend some time with a counsellor or someone that's a third party that isn't your family or friends, that isn't in your world, and just talk through the feelings, talk through the brain thoughts.
Yeah.
Because as you'll hear, I mean, Lindsay's such a huge advocate of mental health, obviously, but also just emotional and mental health and connecting those two together, that sometimes we become a bit disconnected. And I feel like that's what you're saying, Michelle, that sometimes you get a bit overwhelmed with your own thoughts about future planning and commitment. And I just think it would be a really good thing to spend some time for you.
And if things are great now, good.
Yes. You can't... Look, as Stephen King in The Stand, the very long book I've just concluded this morning. I mean, that was about the apocalypse, right? It was a big plague. Shit went down.
It was a bad man.
Not even getting into the good versus evil conundrum within the book, but even just the first 4,000 pages were all about a mass plague and everyone dropped dead. No spoilers here. It's on the back of the book. Big plague.
All right, good.
You never know when a big plague is going to come and wipe us all out. So I say...
Hmm.
Babes, the government. I'm not a wacko conspiracy theorist. Well, but I'm just saying, you never know when things are going to happen. You just need to power ahead and do what's right. But I do think taking time, it's like going to the gym. I really equate speaking to someone like a counsellor. It's like if you look after your abs and your body.
Mental health and well-being and exercise.
Yeah, I just don't think people equate the idea of looking after your brain and emotional responses in the same way as you can pay a gym membership and never go to the gym. Well, why don't you just put the money you'd pay, you know, into a week's of gym or maybe a month of gym membership into seeing someone like Dr. Beerer and, you know, help yourself.
Yeah.
There you go. Michelle, we're so grateful that you listen. I love that you're listening to both the podcasts. I hope you're not overwhelmed by me.
An overdose. Not possible.
I haven't received any bad news about Michael Kors bag holders from last week.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
right. I really thought I'd cop some shit for that.
All right. Well, maybe your audience is very discerning.
Maybe they've all just unsubscribed and they're like, get fucked. I like my bag. We're out of here, bitch. Step off.
Back off.
And I could see the Michael Kors bag swinging at my face.
Coming out of your peripheral vision and clocking you right in the...
If you're unsure of what I'm talking about, I'm just talking about last week on the train, there was a Michael Kors bag holder who proceeded to really annoy me for the whole work trip. She held her phone in my face like I didn't exist.
We did promise last week to never talk about Michael Kors again.
Okay. Let's just head to a quick break.
Okay.
Like the show? Want to leave us a voicemail, iTunes review, or donation? Visit significantothershow.com to get in touch.
That is what you can do. You can get in touch, leave us a voice message, abuse, friendship, love, whatever you want,
really. We may even play it on the show.
We probably will play it on the show. I'm enjoying listening to the voice messages. I've got a couple that I'm storing up for our next conversation with Dr. Beerer because... people asking questions that I don't feel qualified to answer.
We need a magic eight ball.
Yeah, well, I'm very aware of giving the appropriate advice and fucking around, but also not being douchebags. This last weekend, just before we go to Dr. Bira, we went and had a massage each.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
You were there?
I was there, yeah.
It wasn't like a creepy couples massage. We were in separate
Mine was.
Rooms. Was it?
No.
No, weird stuff.
No, nothing to report. Everything above board. Yeah.
Above pants.
Didn't move. Everything's fine.
Oh, I mean, you can get boners. That's no problem. But no
well,
one
I
touched
didn't.
It.
She did sit on me, though.
What do you mean?
As in, I was on my tummy front. And she, you know, knelt on me and...
Oh, I love that so much.
All that sort of stuff.
But like when they put their knees into the back of your legs. Oh,
yeah.
My God. I love having my back cracked, but not like chiropractor cracked. I just like push, like sometimes I'll get you to squeeze me.
Yeah, it's grim.
Yeah. It feels so good.
Yeah. It sounds awful. Don't do it now. Don't do it.
There it is.
Anyway,
but also afterwards, I went and got my face de-haired.
Perfect for podcasts.
Well, here's the thing, because, you know, I was just thinking about the one and what some of the powerful things about being in a relationship and having the one. And that's the one realizing that sometimes you need to remove the moustache. I don't have a thick,
put
heavy...
Put that on a t-shirt.
Well, but, you know, I said... I went to that amazing thing where they use... What's it called? Threading?
Yeah.
And the woman puts a piece of... I don't know what it is, cotton or something, in a mouth.
Diamond tip blade.
Well, it feels like it. And then you've got to hold your face in a certain way.
So you hold your face.
Yeah, she's like, pull your eyebrows up.
You're about to do an accent, weren't you? You were.
Pull your eyebrows up, please.
Yes.
And
carry on.
And it's like, it makes this, like it's, I don't know. And I thought when it happens, you sometimes think your whole eyebrows are being removed.
Right.
But she's got this amazing skill, although she's holding the thread in her mouth. Like it's a freak show. I don't know how it all works. She's not a freak show. The skill's a freak show.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're looking at my eyebrows like
I am. It's like
they
I'm seeing
great.
Them. Yeah, no, they're good. Great. Fantastic.
And then I'm like, got a bit of upper lip hair.
Let's get rid of that.
And then so she did
Dirty
it.
Dirty Sanchez Mo.
It wasn't a dirty Sanchez Mo. It was a mild,
mild.
Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then we went to the supermarket and then Rich was like, we've got to get out of here. Your face.
Because it was fine when we walked in. And then over the course of a few minutes, it really just went red in some unfortunate areas and you looked a bit like an inverse sunburn victim.
Or like someone had pashed on with Ronald McDonald. On the upper lip region and also on my forehead.
Yeah.
And also that followed on Saturday, me doing a bit of home haircutting. And if you follow me on Instagram and do the Instagram stories, you probably would have witnessed some of that, of me deciding I wanted a new fringe, or as Americans would call it, some bangs.
Bangs, that's right. Okay, yeah.
And I cut my own bangs.
Yeah.
And you walked in like, what? You did that sort of weird, like, couldn't quite figure out what was different about me. And then said...
No, I knew what was different about you.
And then you said, we may not be rich, but we can afford going
you
to
can
hairdressers.
Can go and get a haircut.
So then we went to a hairdresser on the way back with my facial hair.
I think his first words were, what have you done?
No. You lie. I said to the guy, look, I've done a bit of home haircutting. Do you think you could maybe just tidy it up for me? And then he basically gave me a free haircut.
He did ask you, what scissors do you use? And you sort of turned around and went, well, they've got like a black handle. And
I said, we got them with Rich's home shaving kit. We got some free scissors. And then he's like, okay. It's not like I said, I'm using kitchen scissors. I'm using some fake Phillips, you know, fine.
I don't think he was impressed.
Well, too bad, too sad. I think I entertained him with my Ronald McDonald, waxy lip, thready lip, freak show. And he probably just felt sorry for me.
And
it's
bangs.
Like, this girl's got a problem. She's cutting her own hair. She's got an incredibly red face. Shit looks weird. I'll cut her hair for her and get her out of here so no one else thinks I'm helping.
It's my charity piece.
Yeah, I was a sad case. And to that, we would like to introduce... That was not a great...
Terrible segue.
Because Dr. Lindsay Bira has great hair.
She does have good hair.
Yeah.
It doesn't have bangs.
No bangs. But also great advice. If you're new to Significant Other, I respect the fact that you've gotten this far into the show with some of the shit that we've been spinning today. But I also think that you should stick around because Dr. Lindsay Beerer is a very qualified professional person.
I think it's on her website, Great Hair and Great Advice.
Great Hair, Great Advice, Dr. Lindsay Beerer. No, she's a professional health psychologist. She is a relationship expert and is very good with dealing with some of the weird questions we throw at her each week. So let's listen to what she has to say. Really great question for Dr. Lindsay Beerer. Here it is.
A big question.
Big, big question.
This is one of the biggest?
Yeah. I mean, we just talk that up a lot. Should you be honest about not being sure if your partner is the one? Dr. Lindsay Beerer, we love hearing your amazing insights. You're a calming person. You give good info. What the hell do we do if we're in a relationship we're not quite sure? Do you bail? Do you stick around? What is the feeling?
Oh, man, what a doozy. This is a big one. I think that we've all experienced this kind of questioning. And even when we're in a very committed relationship, if it's gotten to marriage, 5 years, 10 years of marriage, this question pops up. The reason why it pops up is because we often try to create something. We have this romanticized view or fantasy that somebody in this world is going to swoop in and take care of all of our problems and meet all of our needs. And the basic line underneath this, the basic message, is that that is actually really unrealistic and untrue and definitely damaging and dangerous for us to hold on to so strongly. So something that I think we all need to practice is being open to disagreements, to conflicts, to things that aren't going well, so that we can observe them and grow through them rather than saying, that means that this is not going to work.
So what is the process, do you think, if you've been in a relationship, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, and you're looking across the table at this person, you're eating dinner and just going, I don't know, can I do better? I don't know if you really shit me to tears. I don't know. How, I mean, what is the question?
Is this person Trevor?
We're talking about Trevor here.
Are you looking at Trevor?
Trevor, I'm sitting across from my hypothetical boyfriend, Trevor. And I just don't know. I mean, is this my problem? Is it Trevor's problem?
Good thing to think about because it depends on so many factors. So one, I think you should ask, how long have I been trying this out? If it's very early on and you're having those big feelings, the likelihood is that it's not working or your intuition is trying to tell you something about the situation. That's very important to listen to. Mm-hmm. But I think the other question here too is, what is the one? Truly, like what does that mean? Are we thinking some kind of true spiritual soulmate? You know, some people believe in that. Are we thinking that somebody is going to balance out our problems completely and we're going to be 100% happy with one person? That could be a belief that we have too, and it's not necessarily realistic. If we've been in a relationship for a long time, the whole kind of la-la, in love feeling lasts for about 6 months is what research shows. From there, we get very used to somebody, we're showing other sides of ourselves, we're seeing other sides of the other person, and it kind of breaks down a little bit. So that, like, I've met my soulmate, this person is perfect, everything's wonderful, is only going to last for a certain period of time.
6 months. Lala. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's quick.
It is quick. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while to build up to that, and that's how long it lasts. And it can be plus or minus some months. It depends. And there's also very much a cycle, right? So sometimes we cannot feel as connected with our partner. Then we enter into a stage where we're very connected. And sometimes when we look at marriage, that can happen for years. And it becomes about, you know, what is your goal? What realistic goals do you have? And how might you ride the wave effectively?
The wave thing really fascinates me because I've been, for the last, I think it's about 2 years, I bought this little diary and it's called?
It's like a five-year diary.
It's a five-year diary. It looks like, it's the size of like a little, it looks like a Bible that you'd find in a hotel. But inside there are five sections.
And each night you're supposed to write a couple of sentences or a paragraph about your day. And because I'm not a good diarist, I thought this is something I can keep up. I can manage this every day. And I've been doing it for 2 years. And so each time that you turn the page, you go on to, you can read what you've written last year. And it's really interesting to read a little bit. I've made a couple of notes about our relationship, and it's just seeing where we were at a year ago.
What are you writing about us? What are you writing down? What's going on?
It's none of your business. It's my business and my lovely listeners, our listeners' business. No, I mean, we had moved countries. I was a bit depressed. We were having, like, we were not, I wasn't working, so money wasn't great. I mean, I was just reading this and going, oh, man, we're in a much better position this year emotionally than we were last year.
I've got a new tennis racket. Things are great.
Rich got a new tennis racket. I mean, you know, so it's interesting thinking about the wave that when I think back, you know, about our whole relationship, I go, oh, it's great, it really works. But then you sort of tap into certain periods. Of course you have highs and lows. It's just
absolutely
normal.
Yeah. And I think that there can be a bad side of each thing, right? Ignoring the problems early on, I think that that can have its danger. And then also being really too maybe judgmental about it later on in the process, because it's very normal that we fall out of love with a partner for a temporary amount of time. Life is complicated, and there's nobody in this world who can truly meet all of our needs. It's just not possible. So what it comes down to is being with somebody who is good at conflict resolution. So when the problems come up, you can bond together and get through them in some kind of way that's going to be healthy to some extent. There's always fighting, there's always conflict, but riding those waves of life in an effective way is important. And to also acknowledge nothing is permanent either. So even when we are so in love, we're riding that high. But we have to acknowledge, okay, this is not going to be like this forever, to manage our own expectations.
The world of the Daily Mail and TMZ tells you anything, that love doesn't always
last
forever.
And when
why?
And when people get married, you know, usually they're really believing in it. So that's significant. Something happens, and that's why we have a divorce rate that's so high. There's so many factors in that. We can't possibly put it on one thing, but it goes back to that self-awareness, that self-reflection, and managing our own expectations in a way that's healthy, while also acknowledging behaviors or patterns that we aren't okay with.
And that's important to remember. I think if people getting lost in that world of the smushy love bit in the first 6 months, but you're also getting that feeling, I think, like you said, trusting that intuition, that little bit in your gut that's like, this guy's not quite right, or this woman, something is a bit off, or I'm, you know, I can see all this amazing stuff, but there's something fundamentally a bit, you know, ick. You got to trust
exactly.
That feeling.
And there's a lot of things that try to pull you away from that. Like, you get older, you have parents or people in your life who are pushing you to be with somebody. They've got a great career that you've always wanted, you know, that kind of partner. They're great on paper, but maybe something else isn't there. So there's a lot of things that try to pull us away from that intuition, but we need to be in touch with that and really reflect.
Yeah, you don't want to just marry someone that's great
right.
on paper.
No.
I did.
Rich does. All right. Well, we need to talk. Dr. Lisa, you're amazing. We love you, and we love catching up with you every week. We would like to ask our lovely listeners if they have a question that they'd like us to cover when it comes to this very segment. Just leave us a voice message. Go to the website and follow the prompts, and you will find all the information. And you can also visit Dr. Lindsay Beerer's website, drlindsaybeerer.com, and you can subscribe to her newsletter, and you can also download some amazing mindfulness audio tracks.
Yes, exercises, audio tracks, absolutely.
And just get mindful, feed your frontal lobes, and be good to yourself.
That's good.
Look at that. That was like an open.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm all inspired.
She's too good to us. She's inspired. We're inspired. She's full of information and legitimate stuff.
And like qualifications to back it all up.
She went to Harvard.
I know.
I mean, I went to the University of Tasmania. That's hardly like something you boast about. Thanks, University of Tasmania, for my education.
Tas Uni, number one.
You went there too. We had a good time. Yeah. Had a really good uni bar, which I never went to.
Really?
Nah, didn't go to it.
Where did you go?
I was too good for it, mate.
Yeah, exactly. You were those art students that we never saw.
So next week.
Next week, yeah.
We would love to hear your topics, themes, suggestions of what you would like to hear on the show. As we said, we are accepting voice messages. It's very simple to record one.
I want to know, who does the cooking?
Yes, this is one of the upcoming things. Here's two projects for you. Who does the cooking? And also we are asking guys what they think periods feel like. Because I am morbidly fascinated with this topic.
It's just a vague, mild headache, isn't it?
Oh my God. Every time we ask a guy, it's hilarious. Like, and I don't expect you to know. You haven't got a uterus or a vagina. There's nothing coming out. You don't understand all that stuff. What's actually, you know, you wouldn't have experienced it. But what you guys, and this is very vague, me just saying what all of you guys, but the people we've talked to so far, whoa.
Pretty clueless. I'd like to know what girls think being kicked in the nuts is like.
Oh, I think it's all a beat up. It hurts when you fall on your vag and you're like, we're not that much. And you're like, listen, you fall on the monkey bars or something. I remember falling on my vagina when I was a child and wanting to vomit.
Yeah.
So.
Happy memories.
I feel like I've gotten out of my funk a little bit. The podcast's helped me. I feel depressed. I don't have a book to read tonight in bed.
There are so many books in the world. Like, there's that interesting thing of you've probably only got a few hundred books in your life.
Oh, God.
So, you know, that's one down. You got a few hundred left. Stand up. Come on.
I just got really depressed because I remembered that chart with all the pizzas saying how many pizzas you've got left before you die.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, mate.
Well, chin up.
I'm up for it.
Chin up, champ. Come on.
Stephen King plague could come at any second.
Well, it's not, but fine.
Every time someone coughs on the tube now, I'm just like, I hold my breath. And I wash my hands. And I'm like, if the plague comes, we are locking ourselves in this apartment for a long time.
I was thinking we could take the ottoman at the end of the bed, and we sound really fancy now. But
it's just a spare footstool.
You can chuck it down the stairs, and that would stop the door being open.
What? For how? What? Really?
Yeah, like it'd be a physical barrier, because you couldn't swing the door open, because you got to go through the ottoman, through the wall.
Do you? It'd the other good. Question we'd like to have is...
Climb up on the balcony.
Yeah, well, do you have a zombie plan? Because this is one of our favourite pet topics that we talk with our friends about, and some of our friends go, I'm not interested, I don't care. But a lot of our friends will go, actually...
Not a lot.
A few very close friends.
Niche market.
Yep. We'll say, yes, we've thought about either a zombie plan or a plague or apocalyptic plan when you shouldn't be leaving your apartment, but you're worried that people might be coming in, or you were trying to stave off infection of some sort.
God, Jesus Christ. That's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening.
It's close to the end. Just think about
Tune
that, though, guys.
Week.
It's really good. Actually, the best time to have the conversation is after you turn the light off at night and then you start the conversation.
It's one of your favourite tactics.
It is. We love you so much. Thank you for listening. If you are engaged and you are interested in hearing the other podcast, it's a little more structured than this shindig. It's called the Bride Chiller podcast. It's very easy to find if you search for the word Bride Chiller. It's my word.
Yeah.
And they're my people. And I love hearing what you have to say about weddings. It's a bullshit-free wedding podcast. Until next week, we bid you...
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Zaz.
Like the show? Want to leave us a voicemail, iTunes review, or donation? Visit significantothershow.com to get in touch.